grateful that you have joined us, as Pastor Jeff said a moment ago, for our first ever virtual Lord's Supper service. And I'm so thankful that you have joined us to partake of this special time together as we are brought back into remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. In fact, what He has done for us changes our forever. And we're going to celebrate that reality in just a moment. I want to speak to the children. Those of our listeners who are children, I want you to think about this. I had an experience when my son and daughter were younger. My daughter's Tori, my son Austin. And when they were children, they were outside in the driveway with me, helping me wash our vehicle. And I love to keep our vehicles clean. And they were helping me soap up the vehicle, and they would put the sponge in the bucket and then help soap it up. And I had the water hose, and I was just spraying down the vehicle and loved that pressure. I mean, it would just zap the soap right off of the side of the vehicle and off the top of it. And after a moment, the pressure of the water hose totally went limp, totally went off. And whenever I would squeeze the nozzle, nothing would happen. And so I went around from where I was to the back of the vehicle, and there were Tori and Austin. They had kinked the hose. Now, what they didn't realize was that I was going to trick them. And so I pointed the nozzle right at them, and it scared them, and they released the kink, and it started spraying them from head to toe. And I want you to know that whenever we allow sin into our lives, when we commit sin, it's like kinking that water hose. It does something to our relationship with God. It does something to the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. In fact, what we learn, what happens when a believer sins, is that it fractures fellowship and it erodes joy. That our relationship with God, God's formed us for fellowship, but when we allow sin to come in, it fractures that fellowship. And it erodes the joy that we have in knowing the Lord. Whenever we allow sin to come in our lives at any level, whether it's a sin of commission, where we do something we should not do, or a sin of omission, we don't do what we should have done, or even the sin of your thought life. When we allow sin to come into our lives, it hinders our love relationship with God. It inhibits the fruit of the Spirit being expressed through our lives. And it also evaporates peace. Have you experienced that in your life? And listen, it's a challenge to stay clean while living in a dirty world. It's a challenge to be holy as God is holy while we're living in such an unholy society. And when we allow sin to come into our lives, it hinders our love relationship with God. Another question I want to answer is, what generates the need for restoration? What generates that need to come back? What generates that need to be restored to a right relationship with God? In the Old Testament, there's a story about King David. You'll remember King David, a man after God's own heart. King David, who wrote Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." King David made a poor decision. We find it in 2 Samuel chapter 11, where the kings had gone off to war and King David did not. And he was out on his balcony, on his porch area, and he noticed a woman bathing and she was beautiful. And he began to lust after her and he inquired about her and had her come to the palace. And he took her as his own wife, though she was married to one of his warriors, his soldiers. So David committed the sin of murder and adultery. And he was in desperate need for restoration, being restored to Almighty God. And God sent to David the prophet Nathan. We find this in 2 Samuel chapter 12, where God brings a prophet Nathan to confront David in his sin. And Nathan tells a story about a poor man who had a little baby lamb and treated that little lamb like his own child. And the wealthy man who had plenty of livestock to provide a meal, whenever someone came to town to visit, the rich man took the poor man's baby lamb and killed it to provide food for the guests. And as Nathan was telling this story, David burned with anger. And then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Aren't you thankful for those seasons in our lives where God brings a Nathan into our life? A Nathan who's willing to ask very personal questions. A Nathan who is willing to ask those difficult questions about our journey with God. And God used Nathan in David's life. And through that interchange, it brought such brokenness and such repentance that now we see an encounter between David and God. And it's David confessing his sin before God. Look with me now in your Bibles or on your smartphone in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And the question is this: how can a believer who sins experience restoration? How can you be restored to a right relationship with God? We'll give you three steps if you write these down. Here's step number one: seek God without delay. Seek God without delay. Anytime your love relationship with God is hindered, even if your love relationship with God is broken, seek God without delay. Now, unfortunately, in King David's situation, he waited a full year before confessing his sin before a holy God. A full year. And I want to challenge you, restore your relationship with God. Don't wait a year. Don't wait a month. Don't wait a minute. Seek God without delay. Now, we get to overhear David's prayer. Look with me in Psalm 51, verse 1, where David prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, notice in those verses how David uses the word transgressions. Then he talks about iniquity, and then he talks about sin. In the language of Hebrew, those are three different words for sin and three different levels of sin that demonstrate the intensity and the impetus behind the sin. When you think of a transgression, it means I know the line is here, but I choose to step over the line. And an iniquity is God wants this of my life. God wants the best for my life. God has established this moral standard, and I've chosen to live beneath it. Thus, iniquity. And then, of course, sin is when you miss the mark. You think about the arrow of your human achievement, and here's the target, and you want to hit the bullseye. When it talks about sin, not only do we miss the bullseye, but we miss the target. We fall short. And David is seeking God now for that restoration. And I want to challenge you, don't delay. Right here, right where you are, seek God. Turn to God. You don't have to wait a month or a year. You don't have to wait till your circumstances get better. And praise God, you don't have to get your life all cleaned up, then come to God. You come to Him just as you are. Here's step number two. Get real by choosing to reveal. Now, this is personal. It means that you're going to get real before Almighty God. It means that you're going to bare your soul before God. You're going to open up your chest and say, "Lord, I have nothing to hide from you." And the reality is, you can't hide anything from God anyway. God is all-knowing. God is all-seeing. And God is inviting us to be part of this restoration process. And here's what it looks like. We get real by choosing to reveal. We pick up now in verse 3. "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Isn't that interesting that David would say that? That's memory. My sin is ever before me. According to your, against you, look at verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." Look at verse 5. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you, God, delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret place." What David is acknowledging is though he experiences God's forgiveness, he still has to deal with his own memory. My sin is ever before me. Have you noticed that as you get older, it's harder to remember some things? And it seems as though the things you want to remember, you keep on forgetting. And the things you want to forget, you keep on remembering. That's called memory. And even after you are forgiven, even after you are cleansed from your sin, you still remember the sin. You still remember what you did or didn't do, or what you thought or didn't think. You still remember. That's the gift of memory. And Satan will use memory to imprison you and immobilize you, but God uses memory to remind you where you were when he came to your rescue. Get real. Get real by choosing to reveal. In 1 John 1, 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Several months ago, I was detailing my truck, and I love to keep my vehicle clean on the outside and the inside. And over a period of time, I kept smelling something, and it just kind of smelled like an old sock that had been sweated in and just was left in my truck. And I kept looking through my truck and cleaning it out. I couldn't find anything, but that stench increased. And it got so bad that finally I went into our house and I got some bounce sheets that you put in the dryer to make your clothes and towels smell really fresh. And I got 3 bounce sheets and I brought them to my vehicle and I put them under the seats in my truck to try to cover up the stench. And initially it smelled much better, but then over time that stench began to permeate and it was so unbearable you almost couldn't get inside my vehicle. One day I was cleaning my vehicle again and decided I would take my floor mats out and just vacuum them on the driveway to really get them looking good. And when I went to unhook the floor mat on the passenger side, I noticed under the passenger seat was a bowl covered with aluminum foil. And then it hit me. 6 weeks prior to that moment, 6 weeks prior to that moment, we had gone on a short vacation and we brought Tori's dog with us and we brought some dog food and covered it up with aluminum foil. And evidently during the trip, it got pushed up under the seat where you could no longer see it. But I tell you what, you could smell it. And whenever I pulled that out and I uncovered it, it was unbelievable how strong the stench. I wonder if there's anything in your life that is hidden. I wonder if there's anything in your life that is grieving the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Is there anything in your life that is tucked away that no one has access to, but you know it's there? When the Bible says confess your sins, it literally means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin. It means to agree with God. And maybe this morning, what God is asking us to do is to look beneath the seat of our life and to find anything in our life that we have shoved away and taken out of sight to move kind of over to the side, and it's become a stench in our relationship with God. God says, confess it. That means to get real and reveal it. And what I love about God's heart, you've heard me share this, is that whatever you choose to cover, God will uncover. But whatever you choose to uncover, God will cover. Here's step 3. Be specific as you pray with humility. Be specific as you go before the Lord in prayer with such humility. We pick up now in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Look at that, verse 11. Now verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. What a wonderful prayer. So specific and prayed in humility. Lord, creating me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Restore the joy of your salvation. Would you be willing to pray that bold prayer as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper? Whenever John the Baptist was baptizing, and you'll remember at age 30, Jesus comes to be baptized by John, and John's overwhelmed, and he submits, and he baptizes Jesus. And Jesus there is identifying with us through baptism, and God validates and inaugurates his ministry. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased, whom I love. That affirmation, that validation as Jesus launches into his public ministry. And then the next day as Jesus comes by, as John is baptizing, John says in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I want you to know as we come to the Lord's table this morning that Jesus is the only one qualified to take away the sin of the world. No one else qualified, because it is only Jesus who left the glory of heaven, who came to this earth and lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death to take your place and my place, removing our sin, imputing his righteousness, paying the penalty of our sin, paying the debt that we owed so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could be restored in our love relationship with him. And what I want you to understand this morning is that the road to restoration is paved with God's mercy and grace. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Grace, getting what we do not deserve. His love, his acceptance, being restored, our holy God. I want to challenge you, if you have never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is your first step in the right direction. And I'm going to encourage you to come now and give your life to Jesus Christ right where you are. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the greatest news of all is that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raising from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what's keeping you from turning from sin and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation? I want to invite you into that relationship that will change your forever. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, just say that to him. "I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you lived a sinless life. I believe you died on the cross for me. I now confess my sin to you, and I place my faith in you alone for salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name." I'm going to encourage you to take another step of faith if you would. And just text your name to the number on the screen so that one of our ministers can contact you. We want to walk with you and help you grow in your faith. We want to rejoice with you that you have prayed to receive Christ today. You've become a child of God. You've been filled by the Spirit of God. You've been adopted into God's forever family. And now we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. And you're a child of God. And we want to celebrate with you. For all of those who already know the Lord, you've been walking with the Lord. Maybe for you, your greatest need is not salvation. You've already been saved. Maybe for you, your greatest need is surrender. To surrender to the Lordship of Christ. You also can text your name to the number on the screen, and we want to pray with you and help you in your journey with God. As you know, here at Champion Forest, we practice what's called open communion. And what that means is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we invite you to participate with us. We invite you to join us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. The bread is symbolic of the body of Christ. The juice is symbolic of the blood of Christ. And as you prepare your elements there where you are, maybe bread, maybe crackers and juice, I want you just to be ready, and I will lead us through partaking of the Lord's Supper. But before we go any further, I want us to hear from what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth as he helped them prepare to absorb the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And here's his instruction. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So let's prepare our hearts. And as you're bowed before the Lord right where you are, I'm going to ask you to pray the bold prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139 when he said, "Search me, O God." Would you invite the Lord to search you, to search your heart, to reveal any unconfessed sin in your life, anything in your life that hinders your love relationship with Him? Father, together we pray that bold prayer that you will search our hearts and, Lord, reveal anything in us that brings you dishonor, anything in us, Lord, that breaks your heart, anything that hinders our love relationship, anything that restricts the flowing of your Holy Spirit living inside of us. And Lord, together we confess that to you, pleading your blood over our lives. Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for enabling us to observe the Lord's Supper together by your mercy and by your grace. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, if you would retrieve your bread or your crackers and have it ready. You'll notice the tray I have here. I'm going to get one of the elements, and I'm going to remove the wafer. And here's what the Apostle Paul says as we hold our bread up together. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Father, as we partake of the bread, Lord, it brings us into remembrance of the sacrifice that you made by allowing Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for showcasing your grace and demonstrating your love for us by giving us your very best. And Jesus, we want to thank you for being obedient to death, even death on a cross, that you were willing to take our place, pay the penalty of our sin, that you were willing to remove our sin so that we could receive your righteousness. Thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for your obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Now, if you would prepare the juice, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus. And we're reminded that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, shed his blood on the cross to purchase our salvation. Paul goes on to write, "In the same way, also Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Lord, we rejoice this morning that you were willing to shed your blood to cover our sin. And Lord, we're so sorry that you had to go all the way, even to the point of death, shedding your blood because of our sin. And Lord, we've never known a love like your love. We've never experienced a grace like your grace. We've never encountered a mercy like your mercy. And Lord, we want to thank you that you are the epitome of love, and that you were willing to build this incredible love bridge to us so that we could be reconciled to our Creator, our God. And you built the ultimate love bridge. And you invited us into this salvation package that you made available to us. And Lord, we rejoice in your sacrifice. And I pray that you will empower us to live out the Christian life each and every day with expectation, with passion, with clarity, with sensitivity, with tenacity, Lord, with a holy boldness and a holy courage to fulfill your mission in our generation. And we pray it in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Paul goes on to write, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we know that Jesus is coming again. And we look forward to his return. In fact, Jesus could come back this afternoon. Right before you start taking your nap, or even during your Sunday afternoon nap, Jesus could come back. And God wants us to live with expectation and anticipation of Jesus coming again. And I want to know, are you ready? Are you ready for his return? Until he comes, we're going to celebrate his death. Until he comes, we're going to revisit the cross where Jesus, by his sacrifice, changed our forever. Maybe right where you are, you can stand. And we're going to sing about the cross, and we're going to be reminded of what Jesus has done for our benefit. And then here's where I want to challenge you. I want you to take what God is doing in your life right here and right now, and I want you to export it. I want you to take what God is doing in your life and in your heart, what Jesus has done to transform you, and I want you to take that with you everywhere you go and share the love of Jesus with every person you meet. And just as Jesus has built the ultimate love bridge to you, build a bridge of love to every person you come in contact with, that those who don't know God but know you will come to know God because they know you. Let's stand together. Let's worship together. Let's exalt Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.